precious name of our Lord and Savior this morning. Thank you, Brother John, for those thoughts on reverence and singing. And as we were singing here, I envy your building. Our building eats up the sound. This is made to make it sound real nice, so it's a blessing. Also, Sherman, thanks for that lesson on habits. I know too well what habits can do to a person. I might touch a bit on that later. So, I thought maybe I should have a little lesson on how you shouldn't judge people too harshly, but I think most of you are pretty genial people, so I'll refrain from doing that. But thought maybe you should not judge this preacher too harshly here today. So why don't we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, we do bow here before you, Lord. We worship you this morning. Help each one of us to have that reverence in our heart to you as we seek your face this morning. And Lord, I know that I look to you for grace to say what should be said. And Lord, I ask you to help each person to hear what you want them to hear, even sort of regardless of what I say. I know you can do that. Just ask for your spirit to move here among us today. So, Father, we praise you, we worship you, we commit this service to you, and we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So, yes, as I was trying to decide what to speak on here today, and I generally have to get started somewhere, so I write the Sunday message, Dayton, Ohio, November, whatever, in this case, November the 9th, up on top, just somehow I got to get started. So I wrote that down, and as I was doing that, I saw that November the 9th is our daughter Lucy's birthday. So I did some math, and I decided it was 28 years ago today that she was born. And that sort of started sounding like a long time ago. And I started reflecting on my life and our married life together and wondered, where has that time gone? And what have we done with the time that has passed? And how we redeemed that time. So as I look around here, I'm afraid I almost might be the oldest guy here. there's a lot of younger people here, but we want to talk a bit about time today. And as we look back across our lives, we see many things that we could and should have done differently. We can't go back and change those things, but we need to go on from here. And Brother Sherman was teaching the children, learn good habits while you're young. It's worth it. So today I'd like to remind us of those sands of time that are slipping away in each of our lives, moment by moment, year by year, month by month, week by week, and on down to second by second. And once it's slipped through there, there's no getting it back. It's gone. So I brought a little visual along to help us visualize how this might be. I don't know if the people on one side might not be able to see that as well, but it's almost imperceptibly that sand is going down to the bottom, but it is slipping down through there. You probably can't see it, but there's some sand on the bottom already. like to challenge us to redeem the time, to be using it for good, for our good through eternity, for the well-being of our children, our brothers and sisters in the faith, and also everyone we come in contact with. So it takes 60 minutes, 1 hour, for that sand to flow down to the bottom. And with this hourglass, we can turn it over and start the process over again. But with our life, when those sands of time have slipped through, there's no starting over. It's gone. It's done. And the Bible tells us, as the tree falls, so shall it lie. Ecclesiastes 11:3. With this hourglass, we can see how much sand there is still to flow through, and we can fairly accurately guess how much time it will take. That's still pretty full up there. But with our life, we don't know when our time is up. We're not promised tomorrow. We know that the old must die, but let's also keep in mind that the young can die. We don't know when our sand will run out. In a graveyard, you can find tombstones from stillborn babies to very old people and everything in between. And we would be wise to live each day as if it was our last. It could very well be. So if you have your Bibles here this morning, you can turn to Ecclesiastes, the last chapter there, Ecclesiastes 12. And I think I hope you don't mind having a short service. It might not last too long here, but Ecclesiastes 12. To me, the first chapters of Ecclesiastes are a bit depressing. It seems like Solomon's maybe focusing on all the things he did and how they're going to pass on to somebody else, and it's just a bit depressing to me. But here in this last chapter, Solomon brings it back to what is really important. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think we'll read the whole chapter, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every word, every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Back to verse 1 here, this word remember, in Strong's Concordance says, one, to mark so as to be recognized, make mention of, to be mindful, recount, record, and make to be remembered. As we think about this verse 1 here, we should know our Creator. We should make mention of Him, be mindful of Him, and the exhortation is to start in our youth. I don't know where youth starts, whether that counts these children that were up here this morning, but I'm sure it could be. Before the evil days come, the Lord knows that older people get set in their ways and might not respond to God's call anymore. So if you are here today, I see some youth among us here, take heed to verse 1 and remember your Creator. Redeem those sands of time that are relentlessly flowing, making good use of each grain. You will never regret it, I can guarantee you that. If you're here today and you're no longer in your youth, well then today is the day to start or to keep on, however that may be. Hopefully we're keeping on. So verses 3-7, I think, show us a picture of an old person. And I can surely start relating to some of that. Verse 3 talks, let's just read it there. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Talks about feebleness there. I certainly know that I'm not as strong as I used to be. I don't know if the grinders there is referring to teeth, but I'm missing quite a few of those. And also for dimness of vision, those that look out, the windows be darkened. The other week, out on the job, a screw fell out of my eyeglasses, and I couldn't wear them anymore. I could still see to drive. On that day, I had a guy riding along with me, and he was a little bit worried that I might not be able to see where I'm going, but I could see to drive, but I couldn't read this if I didn't have my glasses. So this week, we do have an appointment to have our eyes checked out and get new glasses, but I do know what dimness of vision starts looking like. Verse 4 talks about loss of hearing. I don't know what that is to say, huh? Maybe too often. Then down to verse 7 is a commentary on dying and going to our long home and the mourners going about the streets. And truly, it will be a long home compared to our time here. Our time here is just real short. But dying doesn't have to be a morbid thought if we remember our Creator and spend our time living for Him. I'll never forget the time that we went to sing for a terminally ill older Christian man, and he was wishing that he could die soon or right now, other than the fact that he felt sad about leaving his wife behind. It was beautiful to see somebody facing death like that. I had never seen that before. Last week, we had a totally different picture in our community. A middle-aged man who lives next to Laverne and Eva couldn't face life anymore. I guess with all the trouble he'd gotten himself into with bad habits, drinking and drugs and whatever else, and he shot himself, he killed himself. Totally different picture from that first man I pointed out. Truly, Satan is a hard taskmaster. He only wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. No matter how shiny he paints that bait that he hangs out for us. Let's go down to verse 13 there. Let's not forget the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I think this fear, John, includes reverence. Remember His commandments and do them. This is what God is looking for from us. I believe God expects us to be good stewards of the time He grants us. then look at verse 14 there. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Don't think that you'll come to the judgment and keep anything secret. It won't happen. Almost looks here like the hidden good that you did will be revealed as well. That's the bad. I know I used to dread the coming judgment day when all my hidden sins would be brought forth before everyone. Praise the Lord. We can have our judgment day early and bring all that to light now and not have that stand against us on that last day. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we'll just be up there standing like this. Everybody else that in the Bible that met Jesus, they were flat on their faces. I think we will be too, but it will certainly be different than for the ones that are condemned. So back to our time waits for no man. I guess that's my title, or the sense of time here. I'm not sure why I'm doing this, but I thought to share with you how time moved on for this man and his family. Where has the time gone? And as Paul said there before the counts or whatever it was, he talked about my manner of life from my youth. So I'll start in my youth. When I was a child, when I was born. I was born on May 30th, 1964. Some of you can do that math that quick, but I'm 61 today. In Union County, Pennsylvania, in an older Mennonite family. 4 years later, we moved to the Shippensburg area of Pennsylvania. These names might not mean anything to you, these regions, but that's where my life started out. And it was soon after this that I had a close call with death. It was soon after we moved to Shippensburg. I guess I was probably around five or so when I fell against a 30-inch saw blade, spinning, cutting my arm in two places. This is a saw that Dad and the boys were using to cut firewood with. And when Dad got to me, that blade was just inches from my head. But God spared my life there. Though there's been times, I guess I wished he would have took me home then, but God is good. I had a happy childhood. We were a large family, and I remember many days playing with my brother that was a year older than me, and also the two sisters that were right above us. Us four were together a lot. So we got older. Earl and I had regular morning and evening chores in the barn, feeding and watering the horses and calves. In the summer, we helped pick produce for our roadside stand. When school was in session, we had to do our chores before breakfast. We had 6 miles to school, so we had to start early to get there on time with our horse and buggy. We almost had to start out when it was dark sometimes. I always enjoyed school and was sad when school quit for the summer. In March of 1976, we moved to Liberty, Kentucky. Most of us children said we don't want to move and leave our friends. I think that's how it goes a lot. And some of the older ones said they're moving back as soon as they're on their own. But it was an exciting adventure and to move, and we all soon loved it in Kentucky. That first year, Earl and I spent most of the summer just swimming in the creek. We had it made that summer, even though we had some cucumbers to pick in the mornings. Also in that first year in Kentucky, a man convinced Dad to buy his sorghum outfit, and the Oberhalters have made sorghum every year since then, although this present operation is very different from the outfit we had back then. So yeah, things kept getting better around here. In 1979 or 80, Mary Ann's family moved to Kentucky, and I am very glad that they did. She's trying to hide now, but it was love at first sight when I saw her. I remember her walking through the door there, and that was it. say the rest is history. We were 21 when we started courting, and we got married on February 20th, 1986. And it just keeps on getting better. So till this February, we'll have been married 40 years, if Lord willing, if we live that long. It's hard to believe. On July the 12th, in 1987, Irvin was born. A couple of years later, Elam joined the family, and then Michael, Aaron, and Laverne. And then 28 years ago today, on November the 9th, Lucy joined our family, our first girl after five boys. She was very considerate. She waited to arrive till our sorghum season was over on November the 8th, so that she came the very next day. Now, our sorghum seasons were intense, so we were very glad that this was over with before Lucy made her appearance. One of the boys said she came too late to save him from all the dishwashing chores. By the time she was big enough to do that, he was big enough to be done with it. But unfortunately, I did not follow Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember thy creator. I didn't do it in my youth or even in my middle age. I was married, being unconverted. I knew I wasn't right with God, and living in condemnation brings stress. And stress often brings irritability, or just in plain English, anger. So the older boys bore the brunt of that. They almost couldn't do things good enough or fast enough to suit me till they almost despaired. It was especially bad during the stress of each busy sorghum season, where each minute had to count. We measured time by minutes in our sorghum season. It was bad. Well, I'm glad the Lord didn't give up on me in all those years. Keeping that heat turned up on me, convicting of my sins of anger and immorality and etc. And the condemnation was especially strong twice a year when communion time came around and I partook, knowing I wasn't right with God. I was a part of the Mennonite community all those years, living in hypocrisy and apparently doing a pretty good job of being a hypocrite, because I was nominated in a preacher ordination one time, which I didn't go through with it then. I confessed some things then and didn't go through with it. So life went on, year after year. Our children were growing older, and the responsibility for their souls weighed heavy on me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get out of the bondage I was in, and I had about resigned myself to just going on like I was, but I wanted something better for our family. So we started thinking about going to the Christian community churches in Tennessee. I thought maybe they could supply for the children what I wasn't providing, some spiritual guidance. I know that wouldn't have done it all, but I was desperate. But before we decided to move, I almost stole Aaron's dad. Some of you might know Aaron. Died from a heart attack, and as he was sort of the glue that held that thing together, in a short time, the community is disbanded and joined other churches, so there went that option. In November of 2001, our fourth son, Aaron, started complaining about a pain that seemed to move around and kept getting worse. So we took him to a doctor, several doctors, and ended up in the UK hospital in Lexington, where he was diagnosed with cancer. After some months of treatment, he was said to be in remission and sent home. But it wasn't long till his pain returned and the test showed his cancer was back. And this time it was in his bones. So they sent us to the St. Jude Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee for a stem cell transplant. And Elaine was born just before we went to St. Jude's. Stayed in the Ronald McDonald House down there in Memphis. after several months of treatment, I think it was like 11 months altogether from the time it started till Aaron passed away. And September the 13th, 2002, Aaron passed away. So then looking back, I'm still not quite sure what all God taught us during Aaron's sickness and death. But I do remember meeting a lot of good people and realized that there are some Christians who are not Mennonites. Way back then, the Mennonites were the ones that had it. That might have helped us get to where we are now. It's hard to believe, but it's been 23 years since Aaron's passing. He would be 33 years old if he had lived. But we don't wish him back. We're glad he's safe in heaven. I got born again at 40 years old, a few years after Aaron passed away. After receiving some help from the charity church, and I received a believer's baptism several years later. We made some changes in our family, pushing through some awkward things for 40-year-old Mennonites. After you have habits for so long, those ropes are pretty thick. John couldn't get out, and some of those are hard to break. By the grace of God, they can be broken, but we pushed through. We still aren't where we should be, probably, but just things like praying out loud and praying with our children were very hard things to do. We had never done something like that before. But by the grace of God, we're here 20 years later, and we do want to press on. I've often wondered how it would be to have had a heart to remember your Creator, remember our Creator, thy Creator, however it says it there, in my youth, and not to have made all these mistakes. Praise God for forgiveness and another chance, but praise God for some of you young folks here that have lived life like that. What a blessing. So in the 10 or 15 minutes that I took to look at these 61 years of my or our life, it just took that long, and it didn't seem quite that short in my 61 years, but time moves amazingly fast. It's a bit like it is. All of a sudden, we sit up and take notice and wonder where has the time gone and what have we done with that time. I remember years back when I was just a boy, I don't know how old I was, but I never expected to be married. I figured the end of the world would come before then, or I'd die or something like that. Here we are, and we have grandchildren. I believe God wants us to be good stewards of the time he gives us, this time that is running through there. We should be about our Father's business. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. I read down to 21. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So this word redeeming here in the Strong's says to buy up, to should buy up this time, time that Satan would have us use in his kingdom. That's his design on that whatever time the Lord gives us. We know that he's not in charge of how much time we have, but he would like to take charge of it and have us use it in his kingdom. So we should buy up that time. We should rescue it from loss and use it in God's kingdom work. Verse 17 there, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Surely none of us wants to walk as a fool, so let's make sure we redeem the time that is slipping through that hourglass moment by moment. Being wise, understanding what God's will is for us. And then here we have some of what John was telling us about. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that giving thanks is a very key thing as well. So these last verses help us to understand some of what God expects from us and what he considers as wisdom. Then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We should be a spirit-filled, praising, worshiping, thankful people. We submit to one another in the fear of God. May we be such people. Let's turn a few pages back to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4 and starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Develop habits thinking about these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So here are six verses that will help us make good use of that time that is slipping through our fingers like sand. That song that the Eshes sing. These verses are jam-packed full of things we should and should not do. And there's promises of peace for us as we do them. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And also in the last verse there, and the peace of God shall be with you. So in verse 4 there, rejoice in the Lord. This is included in our reverence and singing, I think. And this one must be key, for he repeats it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We can't miss this one. God doesn't want us to be a glum, downcast people. And we do have much to rejoice about, don't we? Surely we do. In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This moderation in Strong's is appropriate, mild, gentle, patient. And everyone, it says all men, should know we are this kind of people. And how will they know that? Can we tell them that? I think it's only as we live it out consistently in front of them all the time. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. not to worry, but trust in the Lord, asking Him for what we need, just as a small child asks his parents. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, and just, and pure, and lovely, we must take charge of our minds, filling it with good, pure, honest, and lovely things. These are all ways that we can put to good use those sands of time that are slipping down, ways we can redeem it from being used in Satan's kingdom and use it in service to the kingdom of God. Let's turn over to James. James has a few words for us if we are of those who tend to forget that we are not in charge of our time. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our life is just a vapor. It's even an uncertain vapor. Only God knows how long it's going to be. Let's keep that in mind. And for a final scripture, let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I think as we do that, as we number our days, as we think about the fact that it could be over for us today, it should help us to apply our hearts, our lives, unto wisdom. And how to live. So I hope that this will remind you that time waits for no man, and to be redeeming the time as it flows through your hourglass. I was looking at that song in page 952. That sort of comes from this Psalm 90, I think. Look at that just a little bit. Muse, O my soul, set thy heart now to ponder thy narrow span of time. It's narrow by any way you want to look at it, really, compared to eternity. Look to thy end, let eternity yonder speak to thee in thy prime. Speaking to youth there. Wake from sleep, lo, far spendest the night, truly the day is now at hand. Cast off the darkness, be armored with light, give all thy heart to understand. Looking for that wisdom, remembering our Creator. See then, my soul, that ye walk circumspectly, let not the fool hold sway. Buy up the time, judge the moment correctly, shun well the evil way, evil day. Be not unwise, know the will of the Lord, filled with the Spirit ceaselessly. Cast forth in song all the indwelling word, and in thy heart make melody. Time will not linger, refuse all delusion. Few are thy days at best. Act lest thy aims all be brought to confusion. Quickly pursue thy quest. God, thy devotion alone doth deserve, yield to his kingdom all thy days. He from destruction thy works will preserve, and crown with glory all thy ways. I'd like to close with a poem. I reconstructed this from memory, so it might not be totally correct, but this is as I remember it. It's called No Time. It's a simple poem, but it's pretty clear, I think. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. Must hurry off and get to work, for bills would soon be due. All through the day I had no time to speak a word of cheer, no time to speak of Christ to friends, they'd laugh at me, I feared. No time, no time, too much to do, that was my constant cry. No time to give to those in need, at last was time to die. And when before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. In his hands he held a book, it was the book of life. God looked into his book and read, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. Now we all know that if our name isn't in the book of life, it's not because God didn't have time to write it down, but it's because we didn't have time for him. So if you see traces of yourself in this poem, please do something about it. Make time for God and make time for your family. It's so easy to let this go through and it not be used for God's purposes or our family or our fellow man. So that's it. God bless you.